All right, we're back. Genesis, chapter 16, verse 1. Now, first of all, you can email me anytime, Nicholas@firstamendmentradio.com. That'll work just fine. And any hate mail, just send it there. I'll take that, too. Reproof, rebuke, I'm all for that. But let's do it intelligently. If you think I'm wrong, you know, let's use the word to sharpen the iron here. I have a commitment to tell the truth, to rightly divide the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to do, even if it's uncomfortable, unpopular. Even when it would be easier to ignore or gloss over something. And, you know, that temptation is always there. Once you receive a certain amount of knowledge, you don't want to say something that would be unpopular, or especially, say, if you have a congregation and you don't want to say something that would cause half of your congregation to leave. And this is one of those things. You know, it's like the 501c3 issue. Once a church is 501c3'd, and then they go, well, that was the wrong decision. Let's get rid of that. Well, they'll find that they'll get rid of half of their congregation. But you know what? I say that's a good thing. It's not always a good thing to lose people, but maybe it's a good thing to lose people who are so shallow. But this is a different type of issue. So let's just jump in and we'll see where we go with it. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, Yahuwah hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in to my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So we know that Abram was 85 now, since he was 75 when he came into the land of Canaan. And so he gave her to her husband, to Abram, to be his wife. So this is recorded. This is Abram's second wife. Did Abram break the law? Well, wait a minute. The same people that will accuse Abram or Abraham of breaking the law by taking a second wife are the same ones that will tell you that there is no law, that we only have grace, or at least most of them. But you have to realize that the law was not written at this time. And obviously, Abraham, who was a lawful man, who would not do anything that was unlawful, he would not have taken a second wife if it had been unlawful. Hagar was a maid, so, you know, she was most likely a virgin. She did not have a husband. He did not take another man's wife. That would have been adultery. And that really, if you get to studying the scripture as thoroughly as I have studied this topic, that the definition of adultery in the scripture is taking another man's wife. Adultery always includes taking another man's wife. It always includes a man, of course, with another man's wife. If there's not another man's wife involved, it's not adultery. So if a man takes a woman, even though he's married, and he takes a woman that is not his wife and not another man's wife, well, that would be called fornication. And that's a form of whoredom, or it's like prostitution. It would be a prostitute if a woman sleeps with more than one man. But what I see, you know, from my study in the betrothal, marriage, and divorce study that I did, that the rule really is that a woman has to be exclusive to one man. And that man is her husband as long as she lives, unless by law she's released from that relationship. And that's a whole nother study. But I don't believe that Abraham sinned here. And now, of course, trouble arises, but, you know, if the rule was that it's unlawful because trouble arises, well, then marriage would be unlawful. Because when two people try to live together through marriage, even in forced monogamy, I see a lot of trouble there. Just because people are selfish. They don't know how to love their neighbor as they love themselves. You know, that's because they're disobedient to begin with. So when they get married and continue in their disobedience, well, they're going to have trouble. But then it goes to what kind of woman Sarah I was. And we read, wish I had thought of that before, but anyway, Sarah called Abraham master. And it goes to what kind of wife she was. And she was concerned. The one of the most important things to her was what her, the object of her husband's life. And the object of her husband's life was the promise to the Creator, loving his Creator and loving his neighbor as himself. But it was also the faith of looking forward to the promised Redeemer who would come through the seed. And they're trying everything they can in their flesh. First, Abram says, well, there's a child born in my house. And then Yahweh comes to him in a vision and says, no, it's not going to be that way. This seed will come out of your own bowels. And here Sarai is going, well, you know, this has got to happen somehow. Where's the seed going to come from? Perhaps if he takes Hagar, I'll give him my maiden, you know, to wife. So Abraham takes Hagar as a wife, but this still doesn't work for Yahweh, because Hagar is an Egyptian. She's outside the lineage, obviously not a believer. And we see that this is demonstrated in the few verses to come. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So this is the attitude of Hagar. Hagar's attitude is that her mistress, Sarai, is somehow lowered, that she's better now than Sarai, because she has produced a seed. You know, there's no humility. She's looking down now on who she should be looking up to, because she is, basically, she's a servant. She's a slave. This was a woman that Sarai owned. And it also shows us that this theme that is carried out throughout the seed line of the Messiah, that it was a seed line of faith on both sides of the family, on the mother's side and the father's side. Though sometimes it seems a little questionable. But it was always of the family, the same family, the seed line. And we see that, you know, later on in the law, that the law of incest is now brought forth. But that hasn't come yet at this time in our timeline here. So he went into Hagar, and then she conceived, and her mistress, that is Sarai, was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Yahuwah judge between me and thee. So she's saying, you know, as they say today, God's will be done, basically, is what she's saying. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, it says hardly in here, she fled from her face. And the angel of Yahuwah found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain of the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and where will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. So he's making a promise to her, and to her seed, but he's telling her to submit. So here we see that Hagar is having an encounter of the sixth kind, or whatever you want to call it, because it goes beyond our four senses of the seventh kind, or give it any number you want. But it's a extra supernatural experience. She is talking to an angel. An angel is talking to her, and the angel tells her, submit yourself under hands. So obviously, she was trying to raise herself up above her mistress. And the angel Lord said, you are with child, you shall bear a son, you shall call his name Ishmael, because Yahuwah hath heard thy affliction. And what does Ishmael means? It means Yah will hear, or it says God will hear, because it's not the name of God, but it's El, as in Elohim. So it's Ishmael, which means God will hear, because Yahuwah hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name, of Yahuwah that spoke unto her, Thou God seest me, the God that sees me. For she said, I also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Leal Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram's son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So he was 85 years old at this time. So yes, we had it right. And like I said, to learn more about the relationship that Abraham had with Ishmael and more details on the goings-ons of the patriarch, I suggest reading, you know, the book of Jasher, and you can find that at crosstheborder.org. You can find a link there to the book of Jasher. And a lot of people question, why do you have that on your website? So I have to explain to them that there's several passages in the scripture which say, is it not written in the book of Jasher, which means the book of the righteous, which is like a journal of the righteous or the lineage of some of the patriarchs in the lineage of our Messiah, the book of the righteous. So it's an interesting read, and you can read that Abraham had a relationship with his son Ishmael. He loved all of his children, just as any father who loves our Heavenly Father and loves his neighbor as himself, he loved all of his children. And he had a good relationship with them all. So Abram, not called Abraham yet, he was 86 years old. He was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So he returned. They weren't lost and kicked out into the wilderness. She ran off because of the harshness of Sarai, because she had raised herself up against her mistress. And at the command of the angel of Yahuwah, she submitted. She returned and submitted. So Abram was 90 years old and 9. So we're talking, you know, 14, 15, 13, 14 years later. Yahuwah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What a statement. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Without blemish, perfect, upright, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. I will multiply thee exceedingly. You know, they're having a difficult time through all these years, but, you know, Abraham is just, I mean, you know, they tried to do it outside. First he said, well, the seed of one born in my house. And then Sarah says, well, here, I give you another wife, perhaps. But nope, testing their faith. And we all know what it's like, at least to a degree. But to this degree, how is he's going to have a seed? He says, finally, I will make my covenant between thee and me and thee, and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So he introduces a new aspect. He's the father of many nations. Well, yes, he is, and it's already been promised through Ishmael. But he says, neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, which means just a high father. And here's a man who has, well, I don't know how many daughters he has, but he only has one son. And that is, and Sarai is still barren. Whether he had any more sons or daughters through, and her name just, the Hagar, that's the name. I don't know, it doesn't tell us, perhaps it's unlikely. He says, you shall not any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, which means the father of a multitude, or the father of many nations. Because he says, a father of many nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Well, we already discussed that the seed is not seeds, because when he said seed to Abraham, he was talking about the promised seed, the seed of Christ, of our Messiah, whose seed we are. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and your seed after me. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai any more, but Sarah shall be her name. Well, what's the difference between Sarai and Sarah? See, I can mouse over with my e-sword and I can look it up. It means, well, I'm not sure what it means. We don't really give a definition of the name here. I guess that's a topic for research. So anyway, he changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. And shall her name be, and I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples shall be of her. And Abram fell on his face and laughed. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Well, he's 96, we know. But he's looking at 100 years old. And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So, yes, I guess Sarah was only like 10 years behind. 90 years old, bear. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Let's talk about doubt. There they are. So Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So here we have something that is fairly miraculous. I mean, it's not miraculous on the level of a virgin birth, but it's fairly miraculous. We have a woman in her 90s who's going to bear a child. But, you know, think about it. How miraculous is this, really? They are not that far, like we are today, from the perfect gene pool of Adam and Eve. So that seed could have, or the egg, as we'll call it, the seed of the woman is called an egg, it was preserved, obviously, in the woman. And it had to be. This couldn't have been a new seed. God didn't create, you know, the Heavenly Father did not create a new seed in the woman, because then the son would have been something else. He would have been, you know, it just wouldn't have made any sense for that to happen, because the child had to be of the lineage of the man in order to qualify. Well, I don't know. It's something to think about anyway. I haven't really thought about that. It's just something that ran through my mind, something I'm going to have to meditate on now. But I would say that he preserved the seed in Sarai, his wife, even maybe beyond, because obviously they both thought that she was beyond her bearing years, that she was, you know, past menopause. But obviously she wasn't. Obviously there was an egg, or the seed of a woman, preserved in her. And they don't believe it. So he says, oh, that Ishmael may be lived for, that you may choose Ishmael, that the seed may come through Ishmael. But our Heavenly Father rejects that plan, because he already has his own plan. So he tells him, that your wife shall bear a son. Indeed, you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed with him. And we're going to dive back into this a little bit more tomorrow, because we've run out of time today. So cross the border into his kingdom if you have not. And if you have, just stay here with us and live forever. Don't lose sight of the prize.